Well, good morning, church. In case you don't know me, my name is Brian Wiley. I am the key leader for adult discipleship here at Trinity, and it's my great honor and joy to get to deliver the message this morning. Pastor Peter is in Orlando, Florida at the Covenant annual meeting called Gather, so he is off doing important church business there, and as a result of that, I get to be the one up here this morning. So, look, I'm glad you're all here this morning. There's always a little bit of trepidation when you put out in the loop that you're going to talk about something like lament. Like, lament, really? It's not exactly necessarily a cheery topic. So why are we talking about it? I mean, after all, normally you think, well, we're supposed to come to church so we can rejoice in the Lord and praise Him and give thanks for His goodness, and that's all true. Of course we are. But we're also meant to have more than that in our relationship with God. So to sort of set the context here, I want to ask a couple of questions. This is audience participation. And maybe that'll help explain why I think lament is something worth spending our time on this morning. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you've had any troubles in your life ever. Oh, good. Okay. Now, leave them up for a second. I know, this is not going to be super long. Okay, leave them up. Now, if those troubles, if you've been able to fix them all by yourself, you can put your hand down. Okay, that's what I thought. Me too. That's why we're talking about lament this morning. Because lament is the Christian response to troubles that are out of our control. So let's pray, and then we'll dive in together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, well, this morning I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about why we would want to lament and how to lament. And then I'm going to give all of you a chance to practice writing a short lament of your own. And that's what that handout is. That handout's not a bulletin. It's actually a sermon aid, and I'll refer to it a couple times as we go along. And then we'll use it at the end. But let's start out by looking at our text. So we're going to look at Psalm 13 this morning, which, surprise, is a lament. It was written by David, and it's pretty short. It's only 6 verses, but it covers all of the elements of this type of a prayer. So I'll just go ahead and read it, and you can follow along on the screen or on the front of the handout. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love, and my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. So, does that sound like most of your prayers? If I'm honest, that's not what I grew up thinking of as prayer. I grew up in a very liturgical church, and our prayers were very proper, very orderly. But let's look at this prayer by David. He's complaining to God. Is that okay? He's making demands of him. I mean, this is God we're talking to. Is he allowed to do that? Well, it turns out the answer to both those questions is yes. It turns out it is okay to complain to God, and it is okay to make requests of him. It turns out that when we lament, we're in really good company. The prophets lamented. In fact, there's a whole book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. David was a man after God's own heart, and he lamented. There's over 60 Psalms of lament, and most of them are attributed to David. And even Jesus lamented, and we'll take a quick look at that later on this morning. So I think we can conclude that it's okay, it's even healthy, to lament to the Lord. So let's take a look at what makes a prayer of lament. Any lament consists of four main parts. If you miss any of these parts, you actually don't have a lament, you have some other kind of prayer. But if you put them all together, it's really, really powerful. So before I get into this, I just want to say that I am indebted to a guy named Mark Vrogop. His name is really hard to say, but he's the author of this book called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, which is a fantastic resource on lament. And the information on this is on the back of the handout. But this four-part process that I'm talking about really comes out of his book, and it's really, really good. And there's other views you can see out there online, but we're going to go with four parts as a lament when we talk about it this morning. So the first part of any lament is to turn to God. Now, that might sound obvious. After all, you can't pray to God if you don't turn to him. But it's really tempting to think I can solve things on my own, isn't it? I mean, just think about the incredible amount of control we have over our lives in this day and age. You know, just take my phone as an example. This little metal and plastic and glass thing that we all have in our pockets. Bill, good on you for not bringing your phone to church, but I had to bring mine. It's a prop. I can use it to do my banking. I could order a pizza and get it delivered here to church if I wanted to. I can open and close my garage door standing right here up on the stage of the church. I can buy something made on the other side of the world, and I can get it delivered to my house in a couple of days. And I can even, if you can believe this, I can use it to talk to somebody who's far away. It's called a phone call. I know, crazy, right? But, you know, there's other things we can do in the modern world in which we live. I could go to the airport and be pretty much anywhere in the world in about 24 hours if I'm willing to pay for it. I can keep my house warm or cool automatically, thank goodness, on a day like today. I can go to the salon and get my hair dyed, or I could go to the plastic surgeon and get my nose fixed. I can get my teeth replaced. And medical science can do really amazing things in terms of curing diseases, replacing worn-out knees, all of those sorts of things. It's pretty incredible. But there are a lot of things we still can't control. You know, we can't make our loved ones do the right thing. We can't stop wars or cure every disease or stop death. We can't end hatred. We can't make things happen in our government or in our cities or sometimes even next door. What do we do about those things when they come upon us? Well, we can try even harder to control them. We can try to learn more, we can work harder, we can obsess. And that is the way of the world. You know, double down, try harder. You can do it if you really, really try. But there's a lot of evidence to say that isn't actually how it works. So the alternative is we can turn to God, because he's the only one who can control those things. And so the idea of turning to God is borne out in so many of the Psalms and how they open. So the beginning of Psalm 77, which I have on in the flyer there, is, in the day of my trouble I seek the Lord, and in the night my hand is stretched out without wearying. That's not what the world teaches us to do, but it's essential. So step one of any lament or any prayer is to turn to God. The next part of a lament is to make your complaint. What's consuming you? Why are you upset? Let's look back at verses 1 and 2 of the psalm right there on the front of the handout. In David's case, he felt abandoned by God. He felt like he was being defeated by his enemies. And they could have been physical enemies or spiritual enemies, but he was feeling like he was really in danger of being destroyed. He was pretty blunt. So that raises a question. Is it okay to complain to God? Aren't we supposed to be respectful and polite? Well, you know, I think this complaining part of lament is actually one of the most uncomfortable parts for most people. We've been taught that we shouldn't complain to God, maybe, that it's a lack of faith or something. And we should always respect God. But he can handle our honesty. I mean, he made us. He's not surprised by our emotions. He knows how we're feeling, whether we admit it to him or not. And just think about, there's so many stories in the Bible, and I'll just pick on one. You think, if you're familiar with Elijah, Elijah overthrew all of the prophets of Baal. And then as soon as he did that, Jezebel said, well, guess what? I'm really mad at you. I'm going to kill you. And Elijah was so discouraged that he gave up. He said, that's it, God. I'm done. Just take my life now. I'm out. And what's really interesting is that God did not rebuke him for that. God didn't say, you shouldn't feel that way. Buck up, you know, stiff upper lip, carry on, all that stuff. God let him mourn. He let him be upset. In fact, God came and fed him. He strengthened him. He said, hey, go to Mount Horeb. So Elijah went, and that's where Elijah encountered God himself. And God renewed his ministry, and Elijah kept ministering and being a prophet for God. So there's a lot of basis to say, hey, God's not scared of us complaining to him and being honest with him. Okay, the next step of a lament is to ask boldly. And this is just, you make a bold request of God. What do you want? What do I want? What am I asking God to do? Maybe you've been with somebody, maybe you've got a friend or a relative who just complains all the time. They complain, right? They'll go on and on and on about everything that's wrong. And, maybe after they've gone on for a while, you might ask, well, how can I help, right? How do I make this better? And they'll say, you can't. That's exhausting. And lament is not just dumping the truck on God. The complaint is important. But we go to God because we believe he's the only one who can fix those things which are just troubling us and haunting us. So making your request is a vital part of lament. And if we look at verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 13 this morning, David's requests are pretty clear, right? He wants to hear from God. He wants to see clearly. And he does not want to fall to his enemies. And so we can be clear to God as well. Just look at Jesus' prayer on the night before he was crucified. He knew the plan. He knew that he needed to go to the cross to redeem humanity. But he still didn't look forward to it. He still hoped there was some other way, one that didn't involve the pain of death and of separation from the Father. And so he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Now, that wasn't all of his prayer, but we'll get to the rest of his prayer in the last part of lament. So the last part is choosing to trust or closing in faith. That's the final key part of a prayer of lament. So in Jesus' prayer in the garden, after he had asked for the cup to be taken from him, what did he say? He said, not as I will, but as you will. And that's so important. In our passage today, at the close of Psalm 13, David says, I trust in your unfailing love. I will sing the Lord's praise. And what this does by closing in this way is it recognizes that God's in control. It doesn't matter what the complaint is. It doesn't matter what the request is. It's an act of surrender which changes the prayer from, sort of whining and demanding like a little kid, to a mature request to our loving Father. Jesus said something really, really, Jesus said a lot of really good things, but one thing he said to his disciples was, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, this is not intended to be a prosperity gospel. Right? This doesn't mean that God's the holy vending machine. It's a promise that God will give us good gifts as in good for us in an eternal sense, as in the best thing for us, really, not just what we think is the best thing for us. And so closing a prayer in faith, or choosing to trust, says that we trust God to know what's best for us, and that he will do it. So, there's the four parts. Turn to God, make your complaint, ask boldly, and choose to trust. It's really very simple, but it's also so profound. So why, you know, what's the big deal? Why lament? Why is it so powerful? Well, that gets back to the title of my message. You know, I kind of wrestled with what to call this sermon. I thought about calling it The Power of Lament, because lament is powerful. I thought about calling it The Joy of Lament, which I think is accurate but sounds really weird. But I settled on Freedom Through Lament, because I think that's the best description of why God gave us this form of prayer. So let me explain. Many of you know that my father's health has been fragile for some time. I talked about that a little bit in my sermon earlier this year. Well, about 6 weeks ago, the doctors decided that there was no good path of recovery for him, and they recommended home hospice care. And when my mom called me, it was the middle of the day at work, and I stepped out of a meeting, because when your parents call you in the middle of the day, it's kind of a big deal. And she told me, and I wanted so badly to change the doctor's decision. How do we get here? I mean, can't we run some more tests? Can't we get a second opinion? There must be a way to control this. But there wasn't. All the tests had been done, all the exams, all the opinions. And so the Saturday before Memorial Day, we went up to see my parents. And my dad was weak. He was tired. He wasn't eating. And it was really, really hard to see him like that. And so we came to church the next morning. And during opening worship, we sang, His Mercy Is More. And for those, you know, I'm going to attempt to sing just a little bit of it for those of you who don't remember it. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. And as we sang that, all I could think was, God, I need that to be true. I need that to be true. It wasn't, I hope that is true, or I think that is true. I needed it to be true. I had no control over what was happening. My only hope was for God to be who he says he is. I don't think I was even necessarily praying for God to heal my dad. I was praying for his mercy, whatever that meant. That is the spirit of lament. When we are at the end of our strength, our power, our wisdom, our tricks, our hope, when the only hope is God, that is when lament is powerful. We can keep striving for control, or we can give it to the Lord. At its most basic form, a lament sounds like this: God, I can't do this. I can't fix this, and it's really hard. It hurts. I need you to come through. I trust you to keep your promises, no matter what happens. And if we give it to God, it sets us free. Free to trust in him. Free to hope. Free to be there for others. It is truly the peace that passes all understanding. Now, I need to tell you the rest of the story about my dad. The next day, Memorial Day, we got a call from Mom early in the morning. She said we needed to come. She thought Dad was passing. On the drive up to Vermont, I kept repeating in my head, I need this to be true. I need this to be true, God. I need your promises to be true. And while we didn't know what we were walking into, I did feel a sense of calm. And I felt like God was with me. When we got there, everybody, even the hospice nurse, thought Dad was passing that day. But he didn't. Through a process that I can only describe as a miracle, he went from totally unresponsive to barely moving to speaking in whispers by the end of that day. A few days later, he was eating. A week later, he got out of bed, only to stand for a minute or two. But he was supposed to be dead. Now it's been 4 weeks, and every day he's a little bit stronger. He's still really thin and really weak by anyone else's standards. But he is, and has been all along, 100% sharp in his brain. Every day has been an unbelievable gift from God, and it is a miracle. Now, I want to make it clear that my point is not that my dad is doing well, although I am so thankful to God for that. My point is that God is always with us. If my dad had passed on Memorial Day, God would still be with me and my mom and our family. Lament helps us remember that our God, our loving God, is here with us today, tomorrow, and every day. Now, before we end our time, I want to go beyond talking about lament and give you all a chance to practice it by creating one of your own. So I'd like to invite you to take out the handout you received when you came in this morning. And inside, you'll see that I've got the four steps outlined for writing a lament. Now, I'm not going to ask you to share this with anybody else because these can be really, really personal. But I do want you to just take a moment to practice writing one of these out, and then you can share it with somebody you trust after the service if you want, or once you get home. But we're just going to take a couple minutes and go through this because I think it's so powerful. So what I'd like you to do, and there should be pencils. If you don't have a writing utensil, there's pencils in the back of the seat. But just take a moment and think about a concern or a burden that's weighing you down right now, or one that you've had in the past. Okay. Considering that everybody raised their hands, it shouldn't be hard for you to think of one of those. Now what I'd invite you to do is we're going to step through the process. So just write one sentence or two sentences under turning to God. You can use the sample opening that's right there under step one, or you can write your own words. And this is just God, I need you, right? God, I turn to you, whatever you'd like that to be. Okay. So the next step is make your complaint. What's burdening you? What's hurt? What hurts? What's hard? Simply write that down. And you can be honest. It's okay. All right, the third step, ask boldly. Make your request of God. What do you want him to do? What would you most love for him to do in response to your complaint? And finally, choose to trust. Just write down a simple statement of faith in who you know that God is. Okay. Well, guess what? You are all now psalm writers. Congratulations. But I did that just to show how simple it is. This is something that you can do for any circumstance, for any condition, just to be able to take your concern to God, to give it to Him, and to trust that He can come through. You know, one day, we will not need to lament. But until that day comes, God has given this to us as a way to connect with His power and with His love. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.